Hi everybody, the George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Freedom, this is what I call freedom.
Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Thank you and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Broadcasting live from the city of Chicago. Hello, folks. Hello, everybody out there. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for giving me a little bit of your time. That is so much appreciated. My guest today is Nicholas Britton. And the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth, if I can fix it, is Florida. I mean, the hurricane. I mean, this is the second, I don't know. It's so many hurricanes that they're talking about more hurricanes now. And we're not even finished with the one in Texas yet. And we have this one, a major hurricane along the Florida Keys, the Caribbean. Seems like everything is in the eye of this hurricane along the Atlantic coast. And downpours, people are worried, which they should be. I mean, they're worried. They're, you know, desperate for food, gas. It's just horrible the way things are happening, unfolding with these hurricanes. And I'm hearing that there's two more hurricanes right behind Irma. Two more hurricanes, and they are just as deadly and dangerous and just as ferocious as Irma. And we just got through dealing with Harvey. Yeah, we just got through dealing, and some people a lot of people in Texas are still feeling the ramifications from that. In some spots, it's still slightly flooded. So, you know, this is just crazy. This is loony. And these people having to jump in their cars, leave thousands, if not in the millions, and try to get out of the way of this fast approaching. Actually, it isn't approaching. It has made landfall. I mean, this is it has made landfall, and a lot of things have been destroyed. A lot of stuff has been destroyed, and it's just. I mean, after they get done with this hurricane, Irma, I mean, it's another one. I think it's called Josh or something. And it's right behind. And so, and then there's another one called Keg, I believe. I can't pronounce it, but she's right behind that one. So it's two more hurricanes following this Irma, according to the weather with the Central. But it's horrible, and it has made landfall. And Cuba, I believe it's Cuba, Virgin Islands. I'm just saying these things off the top of my head, folks. So, you know, and a lot of us who aren't in the eye of the storm, we're blessed, but, you know, we have to take care of our neighbors. We have to take care of them. That's what we do. I mean, we help others, just like we help a lot of folks back up on their feet or to deal with the aftermath of Harvey in some cases. We're going to have to do the same thing in Florida and in some places off the coast of Florida. You know, I'm talking about the islands, Cuba, Virgin Islands, the Caribbean, the Bahamas. I'm thinking that a lot of these vacation spots that a lot of Americans go to, because I've known a lot of people. I've worked with some people who used to always say whenever they go on a vacation, it was always Jamaica or the Bahamas or, you know, somewhere in the Caribbean. So we have to take care and look out for our vacation spots. You know, I've never been to the Caribbean. You know, shameful to say I've never gone, but who knows, maybe sometime in the future, especially when the hurricanes are not in season. But it doesn't seem as if a hurricane really has to be in season. You know, they just pop up out of the blue anywhere, anytime, and do their destruction, you know, cause a lot of hurt, cause a lot of pain. But the American people are there to help. I mean, we have big hearts, and that's what we do. We help people who are in trouble, because the folks in Chicago, the folks in Nevada, Montana, no matter where, South Carolina, Mississippi, New York, if you guys were in trouble, we would help you also. I mean, we have big hearts, and I'm pretty sure you would help us also. So we got to help people. That's what it's all about. And this has nothing to do with anything political, even though you feel that some politicians are going to try to politicize this for votes. That's what they do. They see a bunch of people, Americans, a lot of Americans pouring out their hearts and trying to help other people who desperately want to be helped. I mean, they'll try to politicize this and try to get votes out of it. And that's shame on them. You know, we got some rotten people in Congress. So we have to realize that. All right, Florida Keys, Irma. People are filling up the tanks with gas. Filling up the pantries with food, duffel bags or whatever you want to call it. And I'm hearing this 180 miles winds. And we saw clips of it on television. I mean, the winds were really whipping it up along the Florida coast. It was really, really something. And I would follow the advice of the authorities. Evacuate, get out of town. I mean, you want your life. I mean, you can always rebuild, stay positive, because in this day and age of hurricanes and destruction by Mother Nature, it's easily to get depressed. It's easily saying, God don't like me or whatever, or feeling depressed, feeling, feeling worthless. And that's one of the things you really want to do. Because if you lose your house, you lose a few mementos, you lose some things. I mean, you're young enough, you're strong enough, you can rebuild. All you have to do is keep thinking positive and be positive. That's what it's all about. And prayers. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, WTTY. It's a story behind that, and I'll probably share it with you a little later on in the show. Be nice to one another out there. It is so easy. Be nice, be helpful, give of yourself to others, to help others who are totally in trouble. And there are some people in Texas, if you can still find a way to help those folks, do it. Do it, because it will make your heart a little bit better. And people are so appreciative when you help them out. And it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good that they are so appreciative. It makes you want to do it again, because people are actually being helped by your efforts, donations, or whatever kind of help that you can give. Sometimes a smile can help people. Motivate people to pick themselves up after these disasters, because they are disasters. Some people are cursing God. God, I didn't do anything. Why are you doing this to me? That at some point. All right. Those who value people over profit will profit from those people. I mean, I just love that saying. I mean, those who value people over profits will profit from those people. Yeah, I think a lot of politicians and CEOs and corporations should probably read that or believe that or whatever. All right, this show is about making the world a better place, one show at a time. It's hard making the world a better place when you see it falling down. When you see it falling down all around you, but have no fear, stay positive. And that's why I try to have guests on the show to help those folks who are desperately in need of help to stay positive, keep focused, and keep that ambition, keep that drive you got going. Because sometimes, you have to lose things in order to have a better life. I'm not saying that's for everyone, but every now and then, and for some people, it's an eye opener. So, people in the Iowa have lost everything. People have to rush away to get away from the storms and the hurricanes. And you got to keep these people in your prayers, because they are accepting prayers. We have to send them. It's not all the time monetary, not all the time money. Sometimes it just takes a little smile, a prayer, and some effort. And people will be sometimes appreciative of that. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I think its call numbers are WTTTY, not WITTY, witty. Some people thinks it's witty. It's not. I can always change the call number because it's my show, right? All righty. It's sunshiny in Chicago. It's rained. Some rain caught a lot of us by surprise a couple of hours ago. It was sunny, and all of a sudden, it just broke out and started raining. I think it caught the weather people by surprise also. It could be, I'm not a weather person or weather man or meteorologist or anything, but it could be the remnant of what's happening up and around Florida and the Caribbean. It could be, you know, who knows? But it was real freaky, folks. It was real freaky. Weird weather is everywhere. It may just come. It just may just come to the Midwest. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's been fun. I hope a lot of people had a great, great Labor Day. We had a long break because of it. Yeah, I do celebrate Labor Day. A lot of people do not, and that's their prerogative. That's their belief, whatever. But I like having fun. And anytime I can have fun and joy and laugh and joke about things, it's fine with me. You know, I mean, people are different. We're all different. We all have our perks and we all have our beliefs, and we believe what we want. And I had a good time over the Labor Day weekend. I mean, I really had a great time. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of parents in the city of Chicago are relieved that school is back in. Yeah, I mean, they're relieved to get some rest now. Cut down on some of the stress, right? But it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. All righty. Who do we have? Anna Navarro? Okay, let's see if we can pull Anna Navarro up. All right, here we go.
Ferguson to discuss this. And Errol, first to you, I want to talk about the president's reaction to Ken Frazier. Ken Frazier quit the president's manufacturing.
Let me talk to Donald Trump and explain to him that as president of the United States, he represents blacks and Jewish people and Hispanics and people of every color and every creed. And it is his job as president of the United States to stand up for each and every American, to stand up vertically against racism and bigotry. Peddling to racism is just as bad as being a racist. So Donald Trump is either a racist or he's peddling to it, and both are frankly unacceptable and make him unfit to be president of the United States. If you can't be president, if you cannot stand up and represent Americans, you should not be president. And to my party, to the Republicans who are speaking out today, my question is, what the hell took you so long? When someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them. For too long, Republicans in Congress, elected leaders, have looked the other way while a misogynist, racist, bigoted pig is in the White House. Let me tell you, we cannot capitulate the office of the presidency of the United States. We cannot capitulate moral clarity. We cannot capitulate principles. We cannot capitulate Republican values and American values. No piece of legislation, no bone that he may throw on policy, no regulation is worth cheapening the office of the United States this way. It is breaking us apart. It is not news that's breaking us apart. It is the president of the United States who is causing this news. So Republicans need to stand up, need to grow a spine, and need to reject him. I'm tired of hearing Republicans say they're disappointed and disturbed by something he says. You know what? When he invites you to the White House, don't go. When he invites you to dinner, don't go. Do not stand next to him until he starts behaving in a presidential manner. And if he can't, you've got to confront him over and over and over and over again.
And Governor, here's what folks are saying. Those comments today that were at Trump Tower, in the same place where he launched his presidential campaign in June of 2015, by saying this.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
So, Governor, you know, the folks who are his critics are saying he showed us who he was in those comments over 2 years ago. At least he's consistent. He hasn't changed. And people shouldn't be surprised by his behavior today. They expected it all along.
What do you take? What issue do you take with him by saying just what he said? The fact of the matter is, being a border governor, we know that we're not getting the best that what Mexico can send to us. We know that the drug cartels are down there. We know that the rapists are coming across, and then they go to sanctuary cities, and then they head back, and then they come back here again. You know, this is America. The American people ought to be protected also.
And I'll let you respond to that
as rhetoric.
As a Latina, I'll let you respond to that, Anna.
Life is too short for me to respond to something like that. What I will say is that you're exactly right. He showed us during the campaign over and over and over who he was. We saw him boast about sexual predatory behavior. We heard him attack Judge Curiel. We heard him attack the cons. We heard him attack Mexicans. We heard him attack women. Over and over and over again, he showed us who he was. But Republicans, so many Republicans, look, I have friends here in Miami who voted for him because he was going to change Cuba policy. And he did. But that's not enough. That is not enough, because the harm he is causing this country is just too great to look the other way. And many people thought that when he entered the Oval Office, he would become presidential, that the magnitude of his office would make him change and become a presidential figure. Well, 6.5 months have gone by, 7 months have gone by. You don't change a 71-year-old man. He is not going to change. And it is time that Republicans start realizing that and stop giving him a damn chance. He's not going to change. He will continue embarrassing us and making us feel ashamed.
Governor, and Governor, you're okay with everything he said today?
I am. From everything that I heard, I don't have a problem with it. But the fact of the matter is that all of this rhetoric is all sour grapes, because it's just continually coming through the networks across our country, and he was duly elected. He is the president of the United States, and for people to use some of the verbiage that they've used,
Anna is a Republican, a longtime Republican, by the way.
Destroying our. I understand that. Now you lost my. I lost.
You said that. You said it's destroying.
We need to.
Did you have any?
I was just trying to help you complete your thought.
It comes across, it sincerely comes across that everybody's candidate didn't win, so they just want to go after the president on every little issue. There's code words, there's dog whistles, there's, you know, this and this, that. I mean, my God, I've lived, again, a long time, and I've never, ever seen part of our country behave in this manner to this extent. It's over the top, and it's disturbing. And so many.
There are people who are watching, Governor, who will say that they sounds like you're talking about Donald Trump and those people who were out there with torches the other night.
Well, those are bad people. Those are bad, bad people. I mean, nobody is going to say that the Ku Klux Klan carrying tiki lights are good people. Nobody should say that.
The president said that today. He said there were some good people in there.
Let me just say this. I do not think you can ask any American. Wait, Jan, I don't interrupt you, so please give me the same respect that I've given you, which has taken enormous restraint.
I haven't interrupted you, Anna. I haven't interrupted you.
All right, great. Then let me finish my thought, because I can actually keep my train of thought. One of the things he did today, by the way, was also come after and attack the senior senator from Arizona who is battling brain cancer right now. I find that offensive, not only as a friend of John McCain's, but as an American. I find it offensive as a human with empathy. I find it offensive for my friend Cindy and Meghan McCain. I find it unacceptable. And if anybody is going to ask me to respect Donald Trump because he's president, first I would say to them, tell him to respect the presidency. Mm-hmm. Tell him to respect the American people. Tell him to treat his office with the dignity that it deserves. Do not hold me to a higher scrutiny than you hold him. Do not hold me to a higher scrutiny when it comes to rhetoric than you hold him. He is the one that is dividing us. It is not us. Believe me, I got over Jeb Bush years ago, okay? He ran a terrible campaign. If you think this is sour grapes over Jeb Bush, you are sorely mistaken. This is pain
over what is happening in the United States of America, a country that embraced me and that is today my homeland.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right, Florida Governor warns Irma is bigger and faster, stronger than Hurricane Andrew. Okay, I'm quoting him here. All right, do not ignore the evacuation's orders. This is Governor Rick Scott. Remember, we can rebuild our homes. You can rebuild your home, but we cannot rebuild our life. That is what I'm not a fan of Rick Scott, believe me. I think he's a turd. But I think in this case, he is spot on, you know, and that's what I've been talking about on this show, even during the hurricanes in Texas, where people, thousands and thousands and thousands of homes were flooded from top to bottom. Homes, beautiful homes, flooded from top to bottom. People lost everything. Yeah. You can always rebuild. Rebuilding is the cue. All right, let's go. It's 6:27, 6:28. Okay, Florida governor warns Irma is bigger, faster, and stronger than Hurricane Andrew. Do not ignore evacuations orders. Governor Rick Scott, remember, we can always rebuild. And that's the key word, rebuild. I mean, you're young, you're strong, don't sit around being depressed, feeling worthless, you've lost everything. It's no time to wallow, you know, in pity. It's time to get out there and start working to rebuild your life. That's what it's all about. It's rebuilding your life. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm all over the place. I'm on the internet. I'm on Amazon.com. I'm all over the place. Okay, let's go here. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
George, it's Nick Brent. How are you?
I'm fine, man. I was expecting you. I figured that was you. Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving us a little bit of your time. So, Nicholas Britton, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a small bio.
Well, first and foremost, I appreciate the show so far. I am currently in Miami, so it's very, very coincidental that you have me on as a guest and you know, everything sure, you're talking about.
The other day, I was talking to someone from the Caribbean, and it is horrible what's happening.
Yes.
So are you okay?
Ironically, oh, it's beautiful out. You know, it's 85 degrees and sunny right now. Sun's going down. I live right on the water. You know, my story's unique. I haven't always been from Miami. You know, this is just where I am right now, where I live right now and in my journey.
But it's okay where you are right now. I mean, it's okay where you are right now. You wouldn't think so if you were watching the weather reports. You know, you wouldn't think so.
Yes, I assure you, you guys can check me out on Instagram and I'll post a picture of the beautiful, beautiful sunset. But right now, you know, I went to the grocery store today and I saw two individuals getting into a fight over water.
I was hearing something about a water shortage, gas shortage, a shortage for material fix. I don't know. Two individuals fighting over water. That's something. All right, get into tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, well, as I said, in Miami right now, originally from New England, Massachusetts, to be specific. I knew at a young age my passion was to help people. That was my goal at a young age. I knew I wanted to help people. I never knew what that would be. It always changed. So at one point I thought it was being in the military, and after that, I turned into being a teacher. So for my first career choice, I was a preschool teacher, and I was a teacher for 5 years. I received my master's in education, and I loved what I did working with little children. But let me tell you, there was something inside of me that wanted to do more. I knew I had to have a bigger impact in this world. Don't get me wrong, I love teachers, but I was confined to that one classroom. So I quit my job in 2015 and moved 1,300 miles away to where I am right now.
Oh, wow. You know, I love kids too. I mean, you were talking about kids, and I'm saying, wow, he probably has written a children's book. That was going through my mind, but I'm pretty sure. Have you ever thought about that?
I have not written a children's book. Very uniquely, I have written two books. And both of these books are nonfiction books. And, you know, you don't have to be an adult to read my book, right? You don't have to be a teacher to read my book. All you have to do is want to make yourself a better person and make this world a better place. And my book is for you. And I want to talk about the experience.
What is the title? Give us the title of your book.
Yes, the title is Lessons from the Little Ones, and that's available on Amazon.
Okay.
And the other book is Children Know Success, Do You.
Okay. All right.
So
what was the
two books are? Yes, I apologize.
I was going to say, no problem. I was going to say, what was the purpose of writing these books? Even though they're fiction, it sounds like something. Go right ahead.
Yes, they're more of the nonfiction avenue. My purpose of these books were they are closer to that self-help category other than anything else. And my purpose was to take all of my experiences as a teacher, all these life lessons that I learned just by shifting my mind and learning from children and how I can share that with the world.
Oh, it sounds great. So what specifically do you want to help Americans with, people in general? Depression?
I guess the biggest thing is for people to achieve the life that they know they deserve, to live life to the fullest, to live their life to the fullest.
Oh, okay, so how would someone live their life to the fullest? Especially if they're not doing it right now.
Yes, you know, and we can always be doing more. And the biggest thing right now is living life to the fullest. I always find that whenever I give back, I receive so much more. And that might be my personal experience, but whenever I share love towards other people, I get so much more love. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So the first thing you have to do, yes, sir.
No, go ahead.
And the first thing you have to do you have to understand that you deserve more. We all deserve more. We all deserve more happiness, more love, more care, and understanding that it's okay to admit that maybe something's lacking in your life and you need to make a decision. And that decision is the first thing that I believe anybody needs to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do think that a lot of people aren't happy. Do you have a reason or some kind of concept of why a lot of people aren't happy who are not probably living life to their fullest? Is there some reason?
It's a sad thing. You know, I see that all the time. I'm fortunate enough to travel this country and travel this world. And it's not just an, I don't want to say it's not just an area problem. It's not a community problem. It seems like a global problem. And it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. And that's why sometimes I try to motivate people on the show who's been involved in these, like Texas. Texas just had a hurricane. And you know, there's a lot of people there. They've lost everything. And some of them are probably feeling depressed and down and worthless, you know. And that's one of the things they probably shouldn't do. You know, you lost something. You lost your home. You lost your mementos. You lost a lot of stuff. But you're young. You're strong. You're vibrant. It's time to rebuild and just leave the past in the past and start over again. You know, that's what I think. Because if you're in the muck and you want to be in the muck, you're never going to, rebuild your life. You know, you have to be positive. And a lot of people are not that. They're not positive. They just, you know, and you have to try to motivate them, you know. In this book, do you share some of your experiences?
Yes, I do. I do describe a lot of my experiences. And actually, I have a little in my book that, if it's okay with you, I would share that. Kind of goes along with
no problem.
I think people are going to enjoy it though. And in my book, I wrote this: there are risks in every aspect of our lives. Every step you take towards pursuing your purpose presents risk. How you react and respond to these risks shape your journey. In everyday tasks, these are calculated risks. For example, every time you cross the street, you run into the risk of getting hit by a car and dying. As crazy as that seems, however, this does not prevent you from crossing the street. If you let this risk scare you, you will never reach your full potential. You would be confined to your house all day. And I'm sure you're thinking of the craziest things you ever heard of. Of course, you know, so the whole principle of that is that there's risk in every aspect of the life, right? And I see a lot of people living in fear. And fear it can be a paralyzing thing. And understanding that, you know, we talked about sadness and depression. I talked about in my book that if somebody's out there not living life to their fullest, then, you know, it's it's fear-based. And understanding, I posted something on social media, which, believe it or not, some people reacted negatively to it. But what I said is, you know, this hurricane is coming, right? There's nothing we can do to stop it or prevent it. But we can't be negative about it, right? We have to be positive and understand and first accept that this hurricane is coming and then make a rational, mature decision about what we're going to do about that.
Yeah, because a lot of people, no doubt, they panic. They panic. And when you panic, you get scared, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're not going to be thinking clearly, you know. It's going to make you're going to start thinking twisted or something like that. But you have, like you said, you have to think positive. Think of what you're going to do once the hurricane has made its landfall and it's gone, you know, I mean, and you're still there. You're still alive. You may not have your home, but you have your life and you're able and capable of rebuilding.
Exactly. And understanding that this whole life, this whole world is controlled by really one thing. And that one thing is our mind, how we perceive the world, how we want to view something positive or negative. That's controlled by our mind, and being in full control and taking responsibility for your life is essential. Me being in Miami, all my friends, and I see so much negativity this week on Facebook that it almost drove me insane. I was starting to get a little frustrated and angry by how much negativity I was seeing on Facebook and social media, because people were afraid, people were panicking. You know, I was trying to help people, like, guess what? This thing's coming, right? And being scared and crying and not knowing what to do, that's okay. But then posting it on Facebook, and then it creates a snowball effect, and all of a sudden there's people getting in fights at Publix at the grocery store over water, which I personally witnessed today. You know, and you just need to take a step back and make a good, smart decision. this thing's not going to come till Sunday. That's what they're saying. So we have 72 hours to really figure out what is happening, where we're going, and make a decision. And not get all crazy about it.
Yeah, it's not. I heard the same thing. It's not going to get there until the weekend. But in some areas already along the coast there, it has made landfall.
Yes. Well, you know, I can speak for Miami Beach okay. area, and it is blue skies, and the sun's going down right now, and it's a picture perfect view outside my window right now.
They haven't asked you guys to evacuate?
In Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale, which is more, they put us all on warning.
Yeah.
So we are under warning for, I'm in Miami-Dade. Some counties have been finalized to evacuate. We're in like stage one warning, which really doesn't mean anything until we get to, you know, until we get closer out. They haven't escalated the evacuation.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said. You said a lot of people fear leaving their house, of going out and going outside or going to the store or the park. And that kind of fear is dangerous.
Yes, I believe that is dangerous. I truly believe that those people who, you know, are letting their fear control their life and letting these emotions control their life. It's just, I think that idea needs to be squashed in everyone. I think, you know, let's have love and tolerance and happiness control lives rather than fear,
and you say,
anger, and hatred.
And your book can do this. Your books can do this.
I believe that my book, I hope, and I know it's done it for some people, open up their minds to a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's really mm-hmm. all a book can do. That's really all you and I can do. I can't make anyone do anything. You know, I don't have magical powers. But if you have an open mind,
I understand.
And you're... You know, if you're willing to try something new, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, understand that there is a better way. You know, you've written books as well, and it's an exciting thing. That's what books can do. It can open your mind to a different perspective. And I truly believe that, you know, especially right now, we need to be gathered around a principle. And I think the idea of, like, let's see what we can learn from our children can really, if we focus on our kids, and focus, you know, making them happy, we're naturally going to become happier. And this can solve most of our country's problems right now.
Yeah, because we do have problems. And we are Americans. One of our jobs as Americans is to help one another. I mean, we see someone in trouble, we're out there 24/7 helping people. I mean, check out all this help that Texas received. I mean, Chicago and a lot of other states, they were out there in droves helping these people in Texas trying to rebuild. And that's a positive sign. So we don't need people going around panicking other people unnecessarily, you know. And we just have to figure out how to get people to not do those things, you know.
Yes, it's very true. And, you know, with social media, Facebook and everything is changing the world. And it's a very interesting thing. And we need to be responsible for our lives, for our actions, for how we perceive things and understand that, you know, I made a post that I probably offended some people by telling them, hey, take control over your life and don't let your fear control you. And I probably hurt a couple people where I had to make a post today and apologize for what I said. And, you know, that's a big part of growing
up.
I mean,
you do a post like that, you probably wind up with less friends. You'd be surprised what people are unfriend you over, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. You know, but I saw it all over the place and it's like, let's just, I own a couple businesses. Right. And there's no hurricane today. There's no hurricane yesterday. That means you show up to work and you do your job. You know, when you're at work, you need to do your work. And that was not happening. You know, there was a lot of negativity. So I wanted to squash all negativity. And I just hope that people can, you know, find positive. And, you know, you were talking about how amazing this country is because we all rally around a tragedy. We all pull together when we need to.
Yeah.
And that's a great, beautiful thing.
Nicholas Britton on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, tell us the name of your book and where we can go and find it.
Yes, my I have two books. First one is
okay.
Well, the newest one. The newest one is Lessons from the Little Ones. And since we can all believe that Amazon is taking over the world, you can just go to Amazon and search my name, Nicholas Britton, or the book Lessons from the Little Ones. It's currently, I don't know, top 10 on Amazon. Getting
Congratulations.
Some solid traction. Yes. It's ironic, though, because my first book right now is a bestseller again, while my most recent book is like top 10. It's kind of interesting. Maybe we can talk about that at another time as authors.
But yeah, exactly.
My first book is doing very well, which I published over a year and a half ago. And now people are very intrigued by that as well. But most importantly, my purpose is to help people. I want to spread positivity. I want to just help people achieve the life that I know they deserve.
All right, Nicholas Britton on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks a lot, man. And we'll be talking again. Thanks a lot.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, Nicholas Britton on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and all he wants to do is help people. I mean, this is what America is about, is helping one another. And I don't think people should go around, you know, putting up things on Facebook that's going to bring other people down. I mean, it happens on Facebook, Twitter, or anything, or any of this. So it's just a bummer that people try to take advantage of a tragedy. Like this, and it's just uncalled for. Hey there, friends and fans. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want you to enjoy my fictional writings located on Amazon and elsewhere. The website is www.amazon.com/author/gwilder or go to the Amazon website and type my name in the text bar above to either order or download a book, a story, essays, novels, novelettes, whatever you want to do. And I want to thank you very much for that. And as always, good reading. This is George Wilder Jr., and keep listening. There's always more to come. All right, thank you, everybody.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. The President of the United States is, in a way not truly seen since Woodrow Wilson a century ago, an active, belligerent, virulent white nationalist, dedicated to rolling back the rights of and ruining the lives of Americans of color. And as this DACA non-decision pawned off on the evil Keebler elf of Southern apologists shows, he is also a coward, demanding that others, in this case Congress, do the worst of his dirty work for him. Who could have believed that a creature whose campaign began 2 years ago with a vile, psychotic assault on Mexicans and Americans of Mexican descent actually meant it? Well, millions of us did. Millions of us saw right through him and prophesied this moment when the screws would be tightened alike on the technically guilty and the ultimately innocent. Among those who did not see, or who pretended not to see, the politicians, voters, analysts, reporters who as late as the weekend passed were still bleating about Trump's latest last chance to be presidential. And most importantly and disgustingly, the mainstream Republicans who rode Trump's evil coattails to victory and then figured the stain of his hatred would somehow wash off. The rest of these shameless opportunists who will be damned in history for what they were, enablers of the worst American president of all time and the worst elected leader in the history of all the Western democracies who set out to rapidly and thoroughly destroy the nation which had foolishly empowered him.
I get it.
And now it is up to those voters and those Republicans to atone for their sins that will damn them to hell, political or otherwise. They must defend 800,000 Americans who came here, or in most cases were brought here as children, nearly half of them before their sixth birthday, about whom the Bible, these Republicans endlessly thump without seemingly ever opening, tells us in Ezekiel, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. These Trumpian enablers must act in defense of these Americans who are far more worthy of citizenship here than Trump or the other diseased minds who have scapegoated them. And most especially, they must act in memory of the one who has come to most symbolize them all, Alonzo Guillen. He was a disc jockey from Lufkin, Texas, here since he was a teenager, most recently under the protection of DACA. He was 31. He traveled more than 100 miles to Houston to volunteer in a boat to look for victims of Hurricane Harvey. He had disappeared into the night's water last Wednesday. His family kept vigil near Spring, Texas, and Sunday afternoon, Alonzo Guillen's body floated past them. He is dead, and at last word, the Trump administration would not let his mother into this country for the funeral. Alonzo Guillen died trying to save his fellow Americans in Houston while this filth Trump saw his chance to sell copies of the cap he wore in Houston for $40. You Republicans and you Trump supporters must now pass a veto-proof DACA bill. It became an Obama executive order only after it passed the House but was killed by the Republicans filibustering in the Senate. You Republicans and Trump supporters, especially those of you who are yourselves of color, must atone, not merely because it is the right thing to do after this DACA debacle, after the Nazis and their torches in Charlottesville, after the wall, after the Arpaio pardon, after the increased militarization of the police, after the calumnies and degradations of the last 2 years, after Alonzo Guillen. You must atone not merely because the man you support is a pig, and you must now do what is right, but you must also do so in self-defense because you are next. Because the maw of racial hatred has proved time and time again in nation after nation to be insatiable. And you conservative black pastors and you right-wing Hispanic leaders who still support Trump and these racists today, you will find yourselves the victims of Trump and these racists tomorrow. The mothers kept from the funerals will be yours. The lawns on which the torches will burn will be yours. With DACA, the awful truth is fully and finally upon us. There are two kinds of Trump supporters today. There are the racists who hate Mexicans and all Hispanics and blacks and women who think the playing field has somehow been tilted against white men for half a century and who have sold this hateful bill of goods to those in this society who have failed and are looking for anybody to blame. And then there are those other Trump supporters who do not have these vile hatreds in their blackened souls, but who are still willing to exploit and embrace those who do. And they are worse than the racists, because to them this is an opportunity for power. And on the existential subject of right and wrong, they don't care. Well, the time has come where you have to care. The sides are being chosen now. On the one, there are the principles and the values that have led this nation from the peripheries of influence to the primary place upon the world stage and kept her here for a century. Immigration, assimilation, the sum of the parts, the melting pot, in theory if not in fact, and the striving, awkward, insufficient, often failing, often tragic, but still the striving towards equality and the strength and genius it creates in this greatest of all nations, and the courage and the sacrifice of the true embodiment of this nation, a man like Alonzo Guillen. And on the other side, there is hatred and prejudice and racism and white grievance and scapegoating and blame and revenge and stupidity and shame and inhumanity and sheer unapologetic cruelty. And most of all, there is this scum, Trump. Resist. Remove. Peace.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go. It's all over the place that Trump broke with the Republicans, the GOP, and made a deal with the Democrats. I mean, it's saying that Trump blindsided folks in his own party. President Trump shocked Republicans on Wednesday by making a deal with Democrats to prevent a government shutdown, raise the debt ceiling, and provide aid to communities hit by Hurricane Harvey right in front of his own party leaders at the White House. Wow. They should know by now. What, Trump's been in office 7 months, eight months. Trump has been in office. They should know that Donald Trump is unstable. I mean, they should know that Donald Trump actually has been a Democrat most of his life until 2011, until he fell on the burning with Obama. Then he magically became a Republican. But Donald Trump has been a Democrat all his life up until 3 years, 3 or 4 years ago. He decided he wanted to be a Republican. And he's unpredictable. And these guys should know that. I'm pretty sure that they're going to give that as an excuse. Well, Trump's unpredictable. Anything could happen with Trump. Yeah, but the side with the Democrats in front of you guys' face, and they can't stand the Democrats. Okay, here's a quote. The surprise deal left Republicans in despair. They were pissed off. And Democrats expressing glee. Okay, the quote. I just think it could be a much better deal than it is. Okay, that must be Donald Trump because it doesn't sound like it's coherent. All right, but Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer, Chuck Schumer, some people call him, Democrat from New York City, characterized the deal as a happy ending that was for the good of the nation. You know, and I mean, Trump is unpredictable. This is why so many people say he's unstable. I mean, Trump can do something controversial one second, and you think he's dedicated dedicated to that. He's not. He can change his mind just as fast as he can unchange his mind. And we've seen it so many times with this guy. You know, I mean, he's siding with the Republicans. I mean, the Democrats are laughing their asses off. Republicans are, they got their head in their hands on this. And he's unpredictable. I mean, he's a time bomb. What can you say? And they are aiding and abetting him. And Trump, Trump is, I think Trump is on dangerous ground here because he is turning against the people. He is upsetting the people. He's pissing off the people who have the power to impeach him. You know, and you don't do that. He's screwing with the people who can throw him out of office because 85 to 90% of the people within the United States wants to see Trump impeached. And the Republicans, they know this. They know this. They know that 85 to 95% of us in the United States and some people around the world wants to see Trump thrown out of office. And Trump knows this. So why would Trump piss off people who can have him kicked out of office, who can impeach him? It's crazy. It seemed like he would be adhering to these folks, you know, because everybody who's anybody wants Trump, even his own constituency, even some of the people who voted for him want him out. And you don't bite the hand that feeds you, kind of speaking. And that's what Trump is doing. He's pissing off his own party. When his poll numbers are in the gutter. But I can tell you this, and you probably know it too, Trump doesn't do anything for anybody else unless it makes him look good. If it makes him look good, he's going to do it because it's all about making him look good. It's not about making the Republican Party look good or the Democrats look good or the American people look good. It's about making Trump himself look good. If he looks good going over to the side and agreeing with the Democrats, he's going to do it. Then to look bad trying to deal with his own party. So I'm wondering what is going to be the ramifications of this. You know, there's going to be something. There's no doubt about it, folks. The Republican Party in Congress, they control the House of Representatives. They control the Senate. They are so ballless. I mean, I used to think that Democrats were wimps, or the Democrats didn't have any spine. The Democrats were cowards. But there is no more cowards than the Republicans in Congress who are letting Donald Trump kick them up the ass when they have the power to do something about him. They have the power to limit his powers. They won't do it. They have the power to throw him out of the office. They won't do it. They'll walk around and whine and cry about some of the things he does and what he says, but they just sit there and just let Trump kick them in the teeth. And then they go to the television cameras and try to defend what he's done after he done knocked their teeth out, kick them in the teeth, so to speak, kind of speaking. And I used to think that Democrats were the ones with no backbone, but it's totally the Republicans now. And legislatively, if you think about it, they've got nothing done, nothing done. And Trump's 7.5 months, if it's 7.5 months going on 8 months, he's got nothing done, nothing whatsoever. He's done a lot of things with executive orders, but just like he can undo Obama, somebody could, the next president could undo him. So Trump can do a lot of damage signing a lot of these executive orders. The next president that's voted into office in 2020, 2021, or whatever, come in, they can erase away Trump's legacy. But Trump will never have a legacy. He's going to go down in history as the worst president ever, the most unpredicted, the most mentally unstable, the most hated among Americans. And as I've said, 80 to 90% of the American people want to see him impeached. They want to see him out of the office. They are sick of him going abroad, overseas, and embarrassing them. And that's what he does. He is a great big old embarrassment, not just overseas, but right here in America. And once again, we're going to be talking about the hurricane. I heard some news to the effect that the hurricane will be hitting, making landfall in some parts of Florida this weekend. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people are gearing up to evacuate for that. But still in all, there has been some damage along the Atlantic, the Caribbean islands, the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, Puerto Rico. There has been some landfall, some damage, and if not a lot of damage. I haven't surveyed it or read about it or researched it. But it's a lot to take in. I mean, you have Trump, and then you have these hurricanes around America, and that's killing people, taking everything away from good people. And as I was discussing today, and as I discussed yesterday, keep hope alive, folks. I mean, hey, well, you can always buy another house, you can buy another car, but you can't get another life. So stay positive out there, you know, and keep yourself safe. That's one of the biggest things. Keep yourself safe. Get yourself out of harm's way, you know, because you can always rebuild. I'll say it again. You can buy another house. You'll be able to buy another car, you know. Get some more mementos that you've lost, or furniture, whatever. But you can't get another life. So you have to stay positive. You have to be positive and stay away from the naysayers. Stay away from those people who will bring you down even more by saying things that they should not say. Hang around people who have gone through devastation like you have, because they will understand you a lot more. And that's the biggest thing here, is that keeping people positive, keeping people ambitious, energetic, even through all the devastation of these hurricanes. You got to stay positive, you know. And people are there are a lot of people doing great work in Texas. They're the cleanup, I'm pretty sure, is going well. A lot of soggy furniture, a soggy house. And I've said this before, a lot of people, they're going to start sleeping and living in those homes. It could be dangerous, because a lot of those homes were from top to bottom in floodwaters. So you know that the structure of those homes probably have been weakened. So I probably wouldn't want to live in a water-sogged home, because it just may collapse on you. So if you're going to live in a water-clogged home, make sure you get the right people out there to look at the home to make sure it's safe to live in. People are coming home after the flood and finding alligators in their living rooms. So you want to really, really be careful out there. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we're giving everyone our best, you know, who has been caught up in these hurricanes and floods and disasters, and all, because the the Congress isn't doing nothing. These people are talking about DACA, the Dreamers. And I told people on Facebook and some other places that Trump didn't end DACA because of the Dreamers. He ended it because he wanted to tear apart legacy. That's what it was all about. And he used these. Trump has some kind of issue against Obama, where he's every executive order that Obama has enacted, Trump has erased it. Now it's DACA, and now he's saying, he's throwing the ball, he's kicking the can down the road to the Republicans. He's trying to hand this thing off to the Republicans. He's trying to get them to do his dirty work. And they're stupid enough and weak enough and to do it. So it's a shame that Trump using these children, these Dreamers, for an excuse to end Obama's legacy. Wow. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's always a pleasure, folks. It's the end of summer, folks. So it's basically it's the end of daylight savings time. The days are starting to get shorter. It's going to get cold, and you're going to have to take out the blankets, right? Okay. So I'm sad to see summer go. You know, it feels like winter is around the corner right now, but it's been a great summer. There's no doubt about it. I can't complain too much because it's been a really, really great summer, and I am just so appreciative of that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people are. And I can't wait for summer of 2018. But you know, in the United States, summer is still here. It just feels like it's not here. But I mean, because it's in the 60s, okay? And we're along the lake, and it's always cooler by the lake, you know. So, the George Wilder Jr. Show.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. The President of the United States is, in a way not truly seen since Woodrow Wilson a century ago, an active, belligerent, virulent white nationalist dedicated to rolling back the rights of and ruining the lives of Americans of color. And as this DACA non-decision pawned off on the evil Keebler elf of Southern apologists shows, he is also a coward, demanding that others, in this case Congress, do the worst of his dirty work for him. Who could have believed that a creature whose campaign began 2 years ago with a vile, psychotic assault on Mexicans and Americans of Mexican descent actually meant it? Well, millions of us did. Millions of us saw right through him and prophesied this moment when the screws would be tightened alike on the technically guilty and the ultimately innocent. Among those who did not see, or who pretended not to see, the politicians, voters, analysts, reporters who as late as the week...
Making the world a better place one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now... The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
Therefore, I don't have expectations for him. Those of us who were in that church were trying to keep alive prophetic witness to accent love and justice and humanity of all of us, no matter what sexual orientation, race, national identity, and what have you. The sad thing is we're dealing with the life and death of the American democratic experiment. And what I mean by that is the spiritual blackout, the eclipse of honesty and integrity, moral meltdown where there's no space for prophetic witness of love and justice. And it's not a matter of just a president. I have no expectations from Donald Trump. I've been a black man in America for 64 years. Donald Trump is not different. I've been dealing with white supremacists. I've been dealing with neo-fascists and so forth and so on. I can discern them. My concern is neo-fascism is a rule of big money, big military adventurism, escalating wealth inequality, the collapse of public life, and the scapegoating of the most vulnerable, of immigrants and of Muslims and Arabs and Jews and black people and gays and lesbians and bisexuals and trans folk. And so the real challenge is the relative silence of those Americans who ought to be part of an anti-fascist coalition. We should have had thousands and thousands of folk in Charlottesville. We should have had thousands and thousands bearing witness against the neo-fascists. They were emboldened. Yes, they've been emboldened by Donald Trump. They know he has neo-fascist sensibilities. The problem is, look at corporate America. They've been relatively silent. We just had two recent brothers break loose. Where is the anti-fascist, the anti-racist orientation of corporate? Where is the church? Where is the synagogue? Where are the mosques? Where are our fellow citizens who ought to occupy that prophetic space of love and justice and put a smile on the face of Martin Luther King Jr., Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, of Dorothy Day and Grace Lee Boggs and Edward Said, all of those who said we must be honest and tell the truth about those who will use arbitrary power for wealth inequality, xenophobia, and military adventurism in various parts of the world. The American empire can devour American democracy. It's only the people awakened who can do it. Donald Trump must not be fetishized. He doesn't have magical powers. He has too much power as the president, but he can be pushed out. And by pushed out, I mean impeachment of variety, but and the Republican Party can be rendered accountable for its silence. The Democratic Party has to deal with its relative silences in regard to some of the things Brother Charles was talking about in regard to mass incarceration tied to Wall Street and so forth and so on. That's the kind of revival, moral and spiritual revival that we need. And that's my tradition, as you know, William Barber and the others are trying to talk about.
Do you see that happening? I mean, do you see an event like this? And it's not just this event. It's you know what we have seen so far from this president, and what we are likely to see in the future, given the fact that he's 71 years old and unlikely to change. Do you see that revival happening?
I absolutely see it happening. Sister Heather was standing right next to the 20 of us who were almost crushed like the cockroaches that the neo-Nazis view us to be. She, along with the anarchists, along with the anti-fascists, were protecting us. She is a freedom fighter. The memory of her sacrifice, the 19 who are in jail, that can generate an awakening, but it's got to be a moral and spiritual awakening. It can't just be revenge. It can't just be talk about power. It's got to be talking about what is right, what is moral, what is just, and what is morally consistent. That means there's going to be a critique of the establishment of both parties. There's going to be a critique of our churches, our mosques, our synagogues, our universities, all of those comfortable middle-class folk who remain spectators that don't want to intervene into the system. And most importantly, our young people are thirsty and they're hungry for precisely this kind of awakening. And I see it escalating, and in that sense, I see it as hope in motion. So I'm not in any way disempowered by the neo-fascist sensibilities of Donald Trump. I've been seeing it all my life in a variety of different places. I'm more emboldened by the folk who are waking up and shattering the silence, shattering the complacency, shattering the kind of distance and detachment from engagement and struggle around love and justice. And I don't care whether you're secular, agnostic, atheistic, Christian like myself, Muslim, Buddhist like bell hooks, we can go on and on. We can come together. We can make a difference. This is the moment for that.
Dr. Cornell West, I appreciate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. All right. Democrats hope Trump will make a deal on Dreamers after debt ceiling cave. In other words, I think I've talked about this earlier. Democrats makes a Trump makes a deal with the Democrats. Republicans, because of this, the Republicans feel as if they have egg on their faces, and they probably do. Trump sides with Democrats on government funding debt ceiling hike. I know this has got to piss off the Republicans. As I've said it before, why would Trump piss off people who can impeach him? It's because he is not in his right mind. And for Democrats to be giggling and goggling all around Trump is pathetic. I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Wow. I mean, this is why I'm an independent, folks. This is why I don't adhere to any party, because both sides are screwed up. You know, and both sides are just embarrassing to the American people. You know, you think the Democrats have right on their side, and all of a sudden they go snuggling up and being all googly around Donald Trump. You know, it's just crazy. And the man, and 80% to 90% of the people within the United States voters want to see this guy impeached, thinks he has shit for brains. Wow. And the Democrats are not far behind. And this is why I am so, you know, I just want to be clear. When you're listening to the show, you're not listening to a liberal, you're not listening to a Democrat, and you're not listening to a Republican. You're listening to an independent. Please don't put labels on me. Well, George is a Democrat. You sound like a Democrat. No, I'm not a Democrat. You know, I don't fault people who are Democrats. I don't fault too many people who are Republicans, as long as their thinking is not so illogical. Just don't put labels on me. Well, yeah. Well, he sounds like a Democrat. That's what he sounds like. No, I'm just on the side of right. You know, I just look at and analyze what's right and what's wrong, and I'm there on the side of right. And I think deporting all of these young people who came to the United States through no fault of their own, and the United States is the only country that they know, throwing them out of here back to Mexico, where their lives are going to be ruined, totally ruined. They're in school, they're in medical school, they're in law school, and how in the hell are you going to deport all of these people? That's crazy. That is crazy, you know. So the Democrats siding with Donald Trump is pathetic, when Donald Trump has not even talked about the Dreamers. They're talking about something like the debt ceiling or something, or they made a deal on the debt ceiling, but not on DACA, not on these 800 something thousand Dreamers dreaming of having a good life in America. They were brought here illegally as young children by their parents. And that's a shame. These people are part of America. They've been here. They've attributed. They've paid taxes. They paid their taxes. They've helped out, you know, in wars. You know? So to deport all these folks, all these children, and, you know, it's just not right. And it's not right that the Democrats, they're not on board with this, but they're siding and agreeing with a man who has, who may be deporting them in a few months. Donald Trump did say he was going to revisit this if the Republicans didn't do anything. And the Republicans aren't going to do anything about it. They're not going to pass this DACA bill. They're not going to do that. When have the Republicans ever done anything for anybody? especially Americans. When has that ever happened? So A lot of this is we have to wait to see what's going to happen, because there's always something coming out of the White House, no matter how ridiculous. It just gets more ridiculous all the time.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all.
Listening, thank you for sharing a little bit of your time to the show, and we're going to get better. I don't know, maybe I need to be a little bit more funnier on the show, who knows, but thanks for listening, and we will be on tomorrow, and make sure you join me tomorrow on the George Wilder Jr. More guests. You never know what's going to happen on the George Wilder Jr. show. Thanks, everybody. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.